Sunday Mornings with Yellowknife Vineyard.
Good morning.
Good morning.
There's a lot of feelings in my heart this morning. I am so very glad that you guys are all here. It is good to be here this morning. It is good to have our guests here this morning. Let me just ask you from the start. Jesus is risen. Amen? Jesus is risen. He's risen indeed. That's not just a line that we say on Easter. It's not just a church slogan or a nice religious idea that helps us feel better for a day or two. Jesus is risen. He is alive. And because he is alive, everything changes. The heart of Christianity is not a new moral code. It's not better habits. It's not a new spiritual insight. The heart of Christianity is that a dead man walked out of the grave, and if that is true, then there is no part of your life that can stay the same. Now, I know for some of you this morning, that truth fills you or us with joy. For others, if we're being honest, it just feels a bit too good to be true. Maybe you want to believe it, but part of you still struggles with it. Part of you still hesitates. Part of you still wonders, can this really be true? And if that's you, I'm really glad you're here this morning. You're at the right place. Because that is where exactly this passage meets us. Let's pray together. Loving and gracious Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for the cross. And we thank you for the empty tomb. We thank you that Jesus is not dead. He is not defeated. He is not distant, but alive. God, come and be with us now. Open our hearts, quiet our minds. Help us to hear from you. Help us not to just understand this truth, but to feel the power of it deep in our souls. May my words come from you and lead us closer to you. Build our faith today. Remove doubt. Strengthen hope. Remind us that because Jesus is risen, everything is different. We ask all this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Now, the passage that Ezekiel read this morning, when I read this passage, one of the things that stands out to me right away is how shocked everyone is. Nobody in this story is casually saying, well, of course he rose. Nobody shows up to the tomb expecting resurrection. Nobody is standing there waiting with excitement saying, okay, any minute now, it's going to happen. Everybody's going to see it. No, the whole thing for them feels impossible. It says in verse 11 that when the women reported what had happened, their words seemed like nonsense. Think about that. Nonsense. That's the Bible's own word for how the resurrection sounded at first. Sometimes we think that people back then were more likely to believe in miracles because they were less educated or less scientific than we are now. But that's simply not true. They knew how death worked better than many of us do. They had seen death up close. They knew that when a person died, they stayed dead. Jesus had been crucified publicly, beaten, mocked, nailed to a cross, pierced in his side. Nobody was confused about whether he was really dead or not. He was dead. And the women who came that morning were not coming to celebrate. They were bringing spices. They were not coming to meet a living Jesus. They were coming to finish the burial process. They were coming for closure. They thought the story was over. And that always gets me. I don't know if it gets you. They were not coming with hope. They were coming with grief. They weren't expecting a miracle. They were expecting to care for a corpse. That's what makes this moment so powerful. The resurrection was not born out of wishful thinking. It broke into a place of pain, loss, confusion, and disappointment. And honestly, that is where some of us are this morning. We came to church, but not with a lot of hope. We came carrying grief. We came carrying disappointment, carrying questions, carrying things that we had never told anybody. We came like those women came, faithful, but hurting, showing up, but not fully expecting resurrection. I think about Mary Magdalene. Even after the tomb was empty, even after the angels had spoken, when Jesus appeared to her, she thought he was the gardener. Why? Because resurrection still wasn't what she was looking for. She was still looking for a body. She was still living in grief. She was still stuck in Friday when Sunday had already come. And isn't that how it is sometimes? God is moving. God is speaking, God is working, and we still struggle to see it because our hearts are so full of sorrow, of fear, or disappointment that we can't imagine resurrection anymore. One of the things I love about the resurrection story is that God is patient with doubling people. He does not throw people away because they struggle to believe. He meets them. He reminds them. He calls them by name. He opens their eyes. He builds their faith. And I think that matters for us today because some of us need our faith built again. Some of us need to remember again. Some of us need to hear it plainly and clearly. He is risen. That is not nonsense. It is not made up. It is not a fairy tale. It is not a religious hype. It is true. And that raises a question. What is it about the resurrection that feels almost too good to be true? Let me show you a few things from this passage and from the rest of the resurrection story that I think hit right in the heart of that question. First, he is risen, so your sin really can be forgiven. This is where the resurrection becomes very personal. Most of us know what it feels to carry guilt. We know what it's like to replay things we've said, things we've done, moments that we wish we could take back. We know what it's like to smile on the outside and still carry shame on the inside. We know what it's like to try to cover things up. I shared a story not too long ago, for those that attend here regularly, about a girl named Dorothy who had a noticeable birthmark on her face. And because of it, she learned to live by hiding it. She used to turn her head one way or the other so that her hair would cover her birthmark, always trying to manage what she thought everybody saw first. She believed that that was what defined her. But one day, somebody told her, "When I look at you, I don't see that first. I see you. I see your smile. I see who you are." And in that moment, everything began to shift because the thing she thought defined her wasn't actually what defined her. Or like Naaman too, successful on the outside, respected, powerful, admired, but underneath it all, he had leprosy. a hidden condition that defined him. A lot of us live that spiritually. We got our own version of leprosy, our own version of the birthmark, something we wish people couldn't see, something we hope nobody notices, something we try to cover up. And the resurrection says this: Jesus did not stay dead because the payment for sin was accepted. The cross was enough. The resurrection is proof. Think of it like this. When you buy something at the store, they give you a receipt, right? We're all used to that. In my household, my children fight over who gets the receipt when we go to the stores. But that's just our household. That receipt tells you the payment has gone through. The debt has been dealt with. Sometimes when things are not going well and your finances are not where they're supposed to be and you go to the store and you swipe that card, you really want to make sure they give you the receipt. You're waiting for like transaction approved so that you can walk out of there with everything you have before you have to start putting things back. That's really the way that life works. It's a receipt. The debt has been dealt with. You don't owe anymore on that item. The resurrection is God's receipt. It is God saying, the price has been paid. The debt is settled. The sacrifice has been accepted. That means if you are in Christ, your sin is not hanging over your head anymore. Your past is not your identity anymore. Your shame is not the final word anymore. The thing that you keep carrying, Jesus carried it to the cross and buried it in the grave. And when he rose in victory over it. That is why the resurrection feels too good to be true. Because it is true. If it is true, then forgiveness is not just possible for other people. It is possible for me. It is possible for you. The thing you keep hiding, the thing you keep carrying, the thing you keep regretting, it can be forgiven. And not partly forgiven, not mostly forgiven, fully forgiven. The second thing this morning is because he is risen, new life is really possible. This matters because sin doesn't have or just leave guilt behind. Sin, it leaves damage. It leaves patterns. It leaves scars. It leaves habits. It leaves strongholds. It leaves us stuck. Some of us know what it feels like. We're not just struggling with sin as an idea. We're struggling with real things. Anger that keeps showing up. Fear that keeps controlling us. Unforgiveness we can't seem to release. We have addictions. We have hidden habits. Broken relationships, deep wounds. We know what it is to want freedom and still feel trapped. That is why I love the story of Mary Magdalene so much. Scripture tells us Jesus cast 7 demons out of her. 7. Her life would have been a mess. People would have written her off. They would have seen her as too broken, too far gone, too messed up. But Jesus stepped into her story and changed everything. That's what the resurrection power does. It doesn't just forget what was. It creates what wasn't there before. It makes new life possible. I think of that little light that goes off in my car every once in a while. Well, my truck. I drive and all of a sudden a light pops out. We talked about this before. You know, the light goes on so you can check things. And I tend to ignore those lights. And I keep going. But sometimes I do check those things because they're warnings. It warns me. The Holy Spirit works like that in our lives. He warns us. He convicts us. He redirects us. He doesn't just point out the sin to shame us. He points it out because he wants to lead us onto or into life. The resurrection means The power of God is not just for from heaven one day. It is for your life right now. It means change is possible. Real change, not pretending, not just behavior management, not cosmetic Christianity, real transformation. There is more healing in Jesus than there is brokenness in you. There is more freedom in Jesus than there is bondage in you. There is more forgiveness in Jesus than there is sin in you. Somebody needs to hear this morning. You may feel your life is too tangled up, too damaged, too far gone, but because Jesus is risen, there is still hope for you. He can put back together what sin has torn apart. He can heal what has been wounded. He can free what has been bound. Because he is risen, death is not the end. This is where the resurrection reaches into some of our deepest pain. Because all of us know, in one way or another, what it feels like to lose, to grieve, to watch things fade, to feel the effects of death in this world. And sometimes it shows up in big ways. The loss of somebody we love, a diagnosis, another funeral, a heartbreak, a goodbye that we weren't ready for. And sometimes it shows up in everyday little reminders that everything here is fading away. I feel that the older I get. People keep asking me how I'm feeling, and throwing up all evening and all night takes me out of commission for more than a day now. Just, I'm getting older. I can feel it. I feel it when I try to do something physical and realize that the same effort does not produce the same outcome anymore. I feel it when I wake up in the morning and I'm sore because I slept the wrong way. I feel it when my body reminds me in ways it never used to that I'm not getting any younger. We all feel it. The curse of death is everywhere in this world. And the resurrection says it is not forever. Jesus is called the first fruits of the resurrection. In other words, what happened to him is a picture of what is coming for all who belong to him. The empty tomb is not just about Jesus getting out. It is about a whole new world breaking in. It is the beginning of the great revival. One day, every sad thing will come untrue. I love that line. Because it says what so many of us long for, but don't know how to say it. One day, God will undo what sin and death have done. One day, he will wipe away every tear. One day, there will be no more funerals, no more fear, no more goodbyes, no more pain, no more graveyard, no more darkness. I think about that day when we will stand before Jesus and resurrected bodies, everything broken made new, everything weak made strong, everything painful redeemed. And we realize that nothing we walked through was wasted in his hands. What a picture. What hope. I also think about Mary, the mother of Jesus. Could you imagine the pain she carried from Friday to Sunday? Watching her son suffer, watching him die. Staying near the cross where so many others had to run away. That pain was real, but Sunday changed everything. The resurrection did not erase her pain, but it completely redefined it. And that is what resurrection does. It does not pretend that pain wasn't real. It overcomes it. It swallows it up in victory. Some of you need that hope this morning. You are carrying grief. You are carrying loss. You are carrying questions. And I want to remind you, because Jesus is risen, the grave does not get the final word. The fourth thing this morning, because he is risen, and God has not forgotten you. This one is for those of you who know what it's like to wait, to pray and wait, to hurt and wait, to wonder and wait, to feel like we're living somewhere between Friday and Sunday. Now, do you notice, have you paid attention that God did not raise Jesus immediately? Why not Friday night? Why not Saturday morning? Why the waiting? Because the gap feels like life sometimes. We ask, where is God? We ask, why is he taking so long? We ask, did he hear me? Has he forgotten me? And the resurrection answers the question with a clear no. No, he has not forgotten you. No, he is not absent. No, he is not done. Even when you don't see it, he is working. Even when you don't feel it, he is working. I say this a lot because I believe it deeply. At any given moment, God is doing 10,000 things in your life, and you might be aware of three of them. That means your waiting is not wasted. Your answered prayer is not proof of God's absence. Your dark season is not proof that God has stopped moving. Sunday may not have arrived yet, but that does not mean it isn't coming. Sunday is here. We have access to it. Now, some of you might be in that kind of season right now, waiting for healing, waiting for direction, waiting for your child to come back to God, waiting for freedom, waiting for restoration, waiting for some sign that God is still at work. The resurrection tells you to hold on. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't let Friday convince you that Sunday is not coming. God keeps his promises. Those who wait on him will not be disappointed. So let me bring all this together. Why did the resurrection feel like nonsense at first? Because it means things are almost too good to believe. It means that your sin can really be forgiven. It means your life can really be changed. It means death is not the end. It means God has not forgotten you. No wonder that it sounded too good to be true. But church, listen to me. He is risen. Not maybe, not symbolically, not spiritually only, not in our hearts, not as an inspiring memory. He is risen. And because he is risen, the women were right. The tomb was empty. Death was defeated. Hope is alive. Jesus is Lord. So now the question is not just, did it happen? The question is, what will you do with it? Do you believe it? Not just understand it, not just admire it, not just agree with it in theory. Do you believe it? Because some of us need to help to stop standing outside the tomb like Peter, amazed but undecided. Some of us need to stop treating resurrection like an interesting possibility and receive it as the truth that changes everything. So I want to give you two invitations this morning. First, if you haven't, or maybe you want to do it again, give your life to Jesus. If you're here this morning and you have never truly surrendered your life to Him, today can be the day. Do you not need to get your life cleaned up first? You do not need to fix yourself first. You do not need to have every question answered first. You come as you are. The same Jesus who rose from the grave is ready to forgive you, to save you, and to make you new. If that is you, just pray with me for a minute. Just repeat that if this is you. Jesus, I believe you died for my sins and rose again. I believe you are alive. I ask you to forgive me, save me, and make me new. I turn from my way, I turn to you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lead my life from this day forward, in Jesus' name, amen. The second thing, if you know Jesus, but you need prayer today, come. Maybe you need freedom from a stronghold. Maybe you need healing from a wound. Maybe you need help with unbelief. Maybe you are in a waiting season and you need strength to keep trusting. Maybe you need that healing touch of God in your life. Do not leave here this morning carrying what Jesus died and rose to deal with. And if you have already given your life to Jesus but have not been baptized as a believer, let's start that conversation too. Our outdoor service is coming up. Baptism is a public declaration that your old life is buried with Christ and a new life is raised with Him. It is your way of saying, I belong to Jesus now. Now, church, let me end here this morning. He is not dead. He is not distant. He is not defeated. He is not done. It is true. He is risen. And if He is risen, there should be no doubt that your sin can be forgiven. Your life can be changed. Your future is secure. And your hope is alive. It is true. He is risen. And that changes everything. Amen. Please join us. Stand up and join us in worship.
Thank you for listening. We hope you can join us again next time. Be blessed.